if you're in this season of your life right now, wait patiently for your child not to return. The goal is not to get your kid back home. Wait patiently for your child to repent. To repent. To repent means to change your mind, to change the way you think. Change the way you think about your circumstance. Change the way you think about your parents. Change the way you think about God. Change the way you think about your family. And so I'm no longer thinking this way. I'm going this way. And no longer am I going away from God. I'm going toward God. That's repentance. And I'm going to pursue Him.
Thank you for taking time to worship with us. My name is Floyd Bland, and on behalf of all of us here, I would like to welcome you to Paso Robles Community Church. We are located in California's Central Coast in the beautiful city of Paso Robles. Love God, make friends, change the world. That's our motto here, and I feel that that is the call we strive to live out on a moment-by-moment basis as believers. So we pray that the time you share with us in worship will empower you by His Spirit and enable you with His grace to do just that. Now, around this time of year, children and adolescents are making the transition from one level of education to the next. Young adults are completing high school and setting plans as they begin their adult lives. So we want to take this opportunity to celebrate each and every child, adolescent, and young adult in this transition. We also pray that God would give you wisdom for the course ahead and the grace to follow that course wherever it may lead. Now for the parents as well, we pray that God be with you as you adjust to this transition. This sets up our message for today. For some changes, may be abrupt and uncomfortable. Perhaps this change is one that the parent did not want. And as a parent, I too have experienced unwelcome and less than satisfactory life changes, if I'm honest. So, what do we do when our child rebels? Well, today we continue our series InstaFam and focus on the parable of the prodigal son as is told in Luke 15. Now let us tune our ears and our hearts to today's message from our pastor, Sean Penn.
And I was thinking as we're looking at these students, and you see that many students that are moving on, and some of them, this may be their first kind of adventure where they're no longer under mom and dad. And they're going to be experiencing things and maybe, you know, even some temptations that are going to be new to them because they are going to be on their own and trying to figure this whole thing out. So number one, that's a prayer reminder for all of us to be praying for them, all right? The other side of all that, and as we open up, we're kind of wrapping down our series that we've been calling InstaFam and talking about raising our children and speaking the truth of the Word of God over them and developing them. And as we begin to wrap that down, I was thinking, you know, as we're seeing some of these kids moving on, there might be that possibility, mom, dad, if you're here, that they may move in a direction that you don't agree with. That they may actually say, you know what, this whole God thing even. We hope that doesn't happen, and we're praying against that, but there's a possibility. So we're not giving you permission to do this, all right? We're just saying, and the question that I want us to look at this morning is, how do we deal with our children who walk away? And some of you may be in that season right now. You've had children that have walked away or are walking away. And how do you deal with the hurts and the pain in the midst of all this? So this morning, we want to give you some handles, some things that kind of can steady you as you're in that process of seeing your kids maybe walk away. And we're going to look at a very familiar story. It's Luke 15. If you have your Bibles, you can look it there. Some people call this the story of the prodigal son. But you need to know Jesus never called it that. Jesus said there's a guy who had two sons, right? So it's a story of a dad with two sons. One of the sons is that self-discovery. I got to go experience it. Dad, you've been limiting me here. I got to go experience it to find myself. And that's the younger son. Then there's an older son that we don't talk about much. And today we're not going to talk about him much either. But he's the son who is the self-righteous, moralist son who says, I'm going to do everything right. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to obey my parents. And maybe in the end, I'll get a little something special. And things don't work out. You begin to see what's going on in the hearts of these kids. But this morning, we want to look at the younger son because he physically walked away. And so some of the principles I think Jesus is teaching can apply for all of us that may be going through that thing, all right? So if you have your Bibles, we're in Luke chapter 15, and I want to give you like five little handles this morning, and we'll unpack that. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along, or you can read with me on the screen. Luke 15, beginning in verse 11, says this. Let's read it together. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, give me my share of the estate. Well, time out. You guys read that like it was a request. Father, would you please give me the share of my estate? No, this is not it. In the Greek, the younger one demanded of his father. It wasn't a request. He wasn't asking. It was a demand. And what did he demand of his father? Father, come on, read it. Give me my share, right? And in the Greek, that give me is a command. So here you have this younger son demanding and commanding his dad. Woo, did you see the attitude in that? Listen, when your kid begins to cop this attitude, you just need to remember, here's the first handle, all right? Write this down. A rebellion, right? Remember that rebellion is in the heart of everyone. Rebellion is in the heart of everyone. How many of you have had little kids, little itty baby kids? You remember some of the kids are up here when they were young? Yeah. See those hands getting back up. Ah, bring that image to mind, that beautiful little baby. And you remember walking around with that little beautiful baby, and you would say, what? Look at my angel. Isn't she precious? Isn't he perfect. Let me just break it to you. Some of you took you 18 years to figure this out. That little angel is a rebel. This is what the Bible says in Romans. Read it with me. There is no one righteous. How many? No one righteous. In case you weren't getting it, Paul said, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All. Whoa, how many?
All.
Even the itty-bitty baby looks so cute. Have all turned away. They've together become worthless. There is no one who does good. How many? Not even one. Not even a little one. There's rebellion that is in the heart of every single one of us. Now, I have to confess, when we had four kids, and you heard my youngest was up here graduating, right? And I remember holding every single one of them. And I remember looking at each one of my children, and I remember these thoughts. God, I wonder what you're going to do through these kids. I wonder how you've wired them up. Right? Anybody have that? Anybody? Go ahead. Some of you are like, well, I don't know. Yeah, go ahead, raise your hand. I see Scott over there going, yeah, but yeah, get that hand up there, brother. Yeah, yes. Here's what I never said when I had that beautiful child in my hand. I never thought, I wonder if they're going to get tattooed all over their body. I wonder if they're going to get those tattoo sleeve things go all up. I wonder if they're going to have one of those. I wonder if I'm going to have to take this baby to rehab one day. I wonder if this beautiful little girl is going to get pregnant as a teenager. At a wedlock. I never thought those things. Did you? Yeah, it's like, it's why don't we? It's like, we're rebels. And it's the possibility in each side of us, in every single one of us. So when we begin to see this happen, the first thing is just remind yourself, oh, this is the rebellion that's in them. There is a dark side. There is a sin nature that is fighting within them. And I need to understand that. And you need to understand that. And when you also need to understand, and this is not in your notes, but you need to understand that God understands your pain. God understands the pain of parents. Isaiah says this. Read it with me. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He said this, I reared children and brought them up. Isn't that good, right? That's what we're doing. We're having children and we're rearing and bringing them up. But they have... Whoa, they did what? rebelled against me. Now listen, verse 3. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Do you see what God is saying? Even the animals have a common sense to understand who they belong to, who's feeding them, who's clothing them, but my people Israel don't. And the pain of that father, and understand, God understands your pain. And when your child begins to rebel, part of their nature, understand that. So then how did the father respond? This is where a lot of us are getting hung up, right? So how do we can remember that they're rebels. So how did the father respond? Here's the second hand I want to give you. You have to be willing to release your child, right? Be willing to release your child. Oh, bless you, Carla. Right on cue. let's go. So the son came up. Let's go back. Luke chapter 15. The younger one said to his father, right, give me my share. So what did the father do? He did what? So he divided his property between them, between the two sons. I find this interesting, right? This is age appropriate. If this kid was younger and said, Dad, give me mine, the things we've learned in the past few weeks, don't you think there would have been some course correction? There would have been some retraining, right? There would have been some things in play. But this kid is old enough, still living at home, but he's old enough. And he comes and he says, Dad, give me mine. And I love the fact, Dad doesn't go, well, here's four reasons this is not a good idea. This is not going to go well. You should. No, what did Dad do? All right, here you go. Dividing it up. And I've thought about that as a dad. I'm like, why would he do that? This is stuff we work hard for. Why would he just hand it over to the son? And the thought that keeps coming to my mind is because if it was the money that was standing in the way of the father's son with the relationship, then the father was saying, let's get rid of the money. Let's get rid of that stuff that's going to be in the way because I'm more concerned about the heart of my son. And so he releases it to him. And he does exactly what you as a parent would fear that he would do. This is why we shouldn't have given him the money, right? Verse 13, not long after that, the younger son did what? Got together all he had and set off for a distant country. Ouch. Man, I thought if I gave him that money, he would stay around. Instead, he took off and moved to L.A. Are you kidding me? Seriously? Oh, not good, right? Some of us have kids that have gone off to that distant country. And it may be a distant spiritual country where they said, you know, all the stuff that you've taught me, Mom and Dad, about Jesus, I don't believe that Jesus stuff anymore. I'm not believing in that church anymore. I'm done with that. And some of you have kids who have walked away into an emotional far country and said, man, you guys, you were so tight on the rules. You were so legalistic. And I'm going to go spread my wings. All right? I'm done with you. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody been there? Done that? Don't raise your hands. I'm sorry. Some of us have gone to that far off distant country. And listen, this is what you need to remember. So the child has a heart of rebellion. It's in every single one of us. And it needs to be addressed. But it may surface. And the kid may come and you may have to get to that spot to say, I'm going to release my wayward child. What are some of the earmarks? Some of the things that we're seeing in this rebellious wayward child, I think we see already, and I got like three in your notes, but we see it already in this boy. The first is they become increasingly self-centered. I want to do it my way. I'm tired of your way. I'm tired of your rules. I'm out of here. I don't want to be here anymore anyway. It's about me. Give me what is mine, right? Amen? You heard that? Been there? How many did that? Yeah. Okay, they became increasingly self-centered. Second thing is that they think they know all the answers. Right? Yeah, every parent here is like, yeah, I've been there. How hurtful is it when you have a 14, 15, 16-year-old kid come up to you and say, Mom and Dad, you're stupid. You don't know nothing. You're sitting there going, man, kid, you don't even have life experience enough to understand you don't know anything to don't know anything. But here you are telling me, I don't know something. Whew, it's so hard not to, you know, just bite your tongue, right? They think they know all the answers, and on top of that, they demand immediate. The next one is immediate gratification, right? I want it now. Give me what is mine. I deserve this. Give it to me. It's like, I've thought of a story. So this reminds me of this one dad that had a son who was 16, and this son had really long hair, and the dad didn't like the long hair. Not that that's an issue in our culture anymore, but this was a few years ago, right? And the son is like, Dad, I want a car. All my friends have got cars. I'm 16. Buy me a car. And the dad's like, until you do something about the long hair, we're not talking about a car. And the son said, but Dad, tries to play the spiritual card, right? Jesus had long hair. Yeah. And the dad said, yeah. And Jesus walked everywhere he went. Right? So, just, you know, they demand it. They think they got all the answers. Man, that wayward, rebellious child. Sometimes we just have to release them. Give them and release them. Right? What do we do when we release them? Third handle. Consistently pray for your child. You don't just release them and say, okay, my hands, I'm done with you. You go out there and you just deal with what you got to deal with and experience it. No. When your kid walks out the door, that's when you fall to your knees. Now, we don't read that that's what happens in this story, so I know that I'm taking a little liberty and I'm kind of reading that into it, but I know it's a biblical principle. And I know I read from other writers of Scripture, and I look at the Apostle Paul and how he prayed for people. And he said, we pray continually. In fact, I think of the church in Colossae, and Paul's praying for that church. And he says this in Colossians chapter 1. He says, we have not stopped. We have not stopped. How many of you have stopped praying? We have not stopped what? Praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So that, why are we praying for you? So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. We pray on our knees continually that you're going to get to that spot where you're going to surrender to the direction and the lordship of the Lord Jesus and want to please him in everything. When your child leaves the house, you drop to your knees and you start praying. How many of us, because I've heard this, we say, man, we've tried everything. We've tried counseling. We've tried therapy. We've tried rehab. I guess all we have left is to, yeah, you've heard that too, huh? Needs to flip that, right? I mean, how insulting is that to God? All you have left? Is my power? All you have left is my presence. All you have left is my Holy Spirit who can actually get through the fog and the confusion of your child's mind and do something that nobody else can do. Oh, that's all you have left. Get on your knees and pray. And you pray desperately. And you plead. And you may even have to say things like, God, you do whatever you need to do to get a hold of him. Sick the hounds of heaven, grab them by the britches and bring them home. Right? Have you ever heard old preacher say that? Yeah, I think my parents must have prayed that all the time for me. But we got to pray. What do we pray? I'm going to give you four little strategies. Be intentional. And I'm not talking little Sunday school. Oh, Lord, be good, be kind. No, you get on your knees and you pray earnestly. And let me give you four strategies that we find here and what happens. You're going to pray for your child that this is what happens. If they walk away, they're walking away from God. They're walking outside the boundaries. You pray they run out of resources. That's it, right? All the stuff that the father gave, the father's like, okay, man, Lord, strip him of it. Get rid of it, right? Pray they run out of resources. Let's read what happens here. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, right? And he set off for a distant country. And what did he do in that distant country? He squandered his wealth. Woo, here you go, here you go. Oh, we're going to go. Oh, there's a casino. Let's go to the casino. Yeah. You know, if you read later, actually in like verse 29, the older brother got mad because it was the younger brother who was spending money on prostitutes. This young guy went and was wild living, it says. That wild living was he was going to parties. He was getting party girls. He was seeking those prostitutes. He was spending money on anything you could throw your mind and imagine around. And he spent it all. We got to pray that our kids actually Get rid of it. Everything. It's not a bad thing when they lose everything. And we pray that they're going to get rid of all those resources. Next verse keeps going. And after he had spent how much? Everything. This is God's humor, though, right? Right. Not only did he run out of everything, but then God said, "Whoo, we're going to drain up all the resources in the community." There was a severe famine in that whole country. And the child, what? Began to what? Began to be in need. That's the second thing we should be praying, right? That is this. Pray they see their need. Pray that, number one, they're going to get rid of all the resources. They get to the end of anything that they can grab a hold on, and then they see their need. And they start to wake up. This is the first time this boy's like, ooh, maybe dad ain't so stupid after all. He had money. Look at how good things, and I have nothing. He begins to see his need. Listen, if you have a child that goes and they go through all the resources and they begin to see their need, it's at this phase right here that all of a sudden you may get a text from them. You may get a phone call saying, oh, I'm in Los Angeles and I have no place to live. I have no food. And you're like, I love you, son, but you're on the path you chose. Click. He still needs to see his need. Don't bail him out yet, or her out. Pray they see their need. Not only that, here's another thing we need to pray. Pray they run out of options. People who are in need become crazy creative. Right? And they may get manipulative, but you got to pray that God's going to box them in. They're going to run out of options. This is where this boy was. So he went out and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country that was a foreign, far country, and who sent him to do what? To his fields to do what? Feed pigs. What good Jewish boy would ever want to live and feed pigs? None of them. It's filthy. It's dirty. It's disgusting. You can't get any lower. And here's this guy feeding pigs. Verse 16, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but what? No one gave him anything. He ran out of options, didn't he? Nobody was giving him anything. He ran out of options. Listen, when your kid begins to rebel and walk away, pray they run out of resources. Pray they see their need. Pray that they run out of options because they're going to get sneaky creative. And it's usually at this point, if they're not able to get what they want, they're going to steal what they want, right? And so this is what we got to pray. You pray that, and the fourth thing is that they come to their senses, that actually because they have nothing left, it's all been stripped away, that they actually would hit bottom, and they're going to come to their senses, right? And if they don't come to the senses, and they're out there lying, stealing, and cheating to get what they need, you pray to get caught. You pray to get caught. Where do we get this? Let's come. Keep reading. Luke 15, 17. When he came to his senses, straightforward, he's sitting there with the pigs in a foreign land, hungry, stomach, starving, thirsty, no money, no friends. And he's like, dude, this isn't very fun anymore. And he came to his senses and he said what? How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. We pray they come to their senses. Proverbs adds, you better pray they get caught. Proverbs says this, 10:9, the man of integrity walks securely, right? That's a given. But he who takes crooked paths, what? Will be found out. Pray that he will be found out. Pray that he will be caught. Pray that he will be exposed. That's what we're praying through all. Listen. This is hard. Rebellion is hard. When kids walk away, it is hard. And we pray daily for our children. And I encourage you to continue to pray daily for your children, wherever they might be. And wherever they are in that continuum in their relationship with God. And I don't know in this room where your kids might be or where you guys might end up. I don't know. But we need to be praying. And it's going to be hard if they walk away. And I've tried to think about, man, in this culture, it would sound probably something like this, right? You get a young kid, I'll use a boy because I'm a boy, and he probably walked up to his dad and said, I'm tired of this church thing. You made me come to church every single Sunday. I'm burned out on church. I'm going to go figure this out on my own. Your rules no longer apply to me. And he leaves, and he goes to a foreign city, and he's living in that city. And he's like, man, this is so freeing. And he starts hitting up with some friends. And his friends like to party. And next thing you know, he's drinking alcohol and he's doing beer pong and they're going beer bottom drinking and they're like, wow. And he's just, oh, but that's not enough because now he's getting the depression side of it. And he's like, I need something to pick me up. And he starts doing a little drug on the side to pick him back up and to get that energy. And the party scene is just catching him. And he's like, whoa, look at all those girls. And he starts chasing and pursuing girls. And he's looking for user-friendly women out there. There are dudes that are out there, ladies. Be careful. And they're going through all that. And then he just gets so drunk and so stoned one night. While he's driving his car, he passes out and he ends up in a ditch. He doesn't remember how he got in the ditch. And he wakes up and he says, wow, I could have killed somebody. I should be dead. And you pray that he comes to his senses. And some of us, we may have a child. If they're not there, they may get there. They may have to do some things that are just, you would not want them to experience. They may have to fail school. They may have to lose their virginity. They may have to go to rehab. They may have to do time in jail. I don't know what it is, and this is not an easy thing to say, but this is the pain of rebellion. And this is what the father released his son to. He says, you're on your own. And he prayed continually for these things to happen in the life of his son. We need to be praying the same. And now, what did the dad do during this whole time? Here's the fourth handle. If you're in this season of your life right now, wait patiently for your child not to return. The goal is not to get your kid back home. Wait patiently for your child to repent. To repent. To repent means to change your mind, to change the way you think. Change the way you think about your circumstance. Change the way you think about your parents. Change the way you think about God. Change the way you think about your family. And so I'm no longer thinking this way. I'm going this way. And no longer am I going away from God. I'm going toward God. That's repentance. And I'm going to pursue him. That's what we pray will happen in the life of our child. Where do we see this in the story? Verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to whom? My father. And I will say to him, say what? Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So what did the son do? He got up and he went to his father. Listen, the whole time, the father is waiting patiently for his son to repent, to change his mind. The dad was not out stalking his son. The dad was not out trolling his son's social media under a false name to try to get his son to like him. He didn't do it. And when you're in this season and you're in this period and you are waiting, this is what I know goes down within families. Mom and dad, inevitably, if you're still married in this period, they go, what did we do wrong? What could we have done better? And if you're not careful, mom and dad during the season can actually begin to argue with one another. We should have been tougher on him. No, you were too tough. We should have been more lenient on him. We should have spanked him more. No, we should have loved him more. We should have got him a job. No, he should have got his own job. We should have taken him out of public school and put him into private school. No, he should not have been either one of those. I don't know what he should have done, right? You see how this goes back and forth? And listen, if you're there, parents, just as we take too much credit when our kids turn out good. Let me just say that right up front. We don't get any credit. The Lord gets the credit. So we seek and we pray. So just as we take too much credit when things go well, we're taking too much guilt and blame when things go bad. What we need to do is to seek the Lord, and you invite the Lord, and you trust the Lord, because only the Lord is the one who's going to be able to get a hold of that child. And sometimes our children have to go way down before they can look up. And only God has the power to bring the change. And so we wait for our child expectantly to repent, to have a change of heart, change their thinking. When that happens, then they're ready to return. And this is what the son did. He got up and he went to his father. Went to his father. And what's he say? He's getting his there in one day while his father, it says, is outside. I think it's a verse, the rest of verse 20. His father is out there. In one day, he sees his son from a distance, it says. You know, a distance. I'm thinking he's probably got one of those ranch properties here in Paso. It's like a half mile from the gate to the house, and he looks out there, and he's all like, is that my son? That guy looks like my son. And so he got up, went to his father, but while he's still a long way off, his father saw him, and his father was filled with compassion. Did you catch that? It was the sight of his son who was returned that triggered compassion. Some of us, we thwart the movement of God because we're so filled with compassion that we go out and we try to bail our kids out. Instead of actually this father, later you find out that he thought his son was dead. My son was dead to me. And that's sometimes how we have to feel. I've released him. God's got to deal with him. But the day that they start coming back in true repentance, it'll trigger that act of compassion. The Greek word is splagnizomai. Say that with me. It's a cool word. Splagnizomai, right? And then you know what that means? It means to be moved in the bowels. Yeah, uh-huh. You got the runs. And that's what happened to the dad. But sorry, that was bad humor. You get moved into your stomach. It tears your stomach up. And I think the father saw his son from a distance, and he was moved with compassion, with pity, with mercy, and it triggered something in the dad, and the heart began to race, and he took off, and he ran toward his son. And when he got to his son, what did he do? Yeah, he threw his arms around him, dads and moms. He didn't throw a punch at him. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. In the Greek, it's actually a repetitive thing. He continually hugged him and kissed him. Can you imagine that? There's my son, and there he is. He's coming back, and I go running up, and I embrace him, and I kiss him, and I go, is that really you? And I hug him again, and I kiss him, and I go, I can't believe it's you. And I look at him, and I'm like, oh, and the tears begin to fall. I don't care. Does the son deserve this? Whoa, that was a weak response. No, the son does not reserve this. The son knows this. And the son says this, and this is how I know it's true repentance. Because the son, getting all that love from the dad, son says this. Verse 21, the son said to him, Father, read it with me. I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Everything he had rehearsed, the change in his heart, the movement back toward God and to his father was genuine. And how do I know? Because how many of us have done something and we knew it wasn't right and we were away from our parents and we worked up this excuse in our head and we're gonna humble ourselves and we're gonna throw ourselves on the graces of our parents and we get home and instead of your parents going, mm-hmm, they go, woo-hoo-hoo, and you go, maybe it wasn't so bad after all. Maybe this is good. I like this. And so you never follow through. You're like, well, maybe they forgot. Maybe they didn't care. And so you just continue on. And you never complete the cycle and say, would you forgive me? I repent. I've sinned before heaven. I've sinned before God. I've sinned before you. Would you forgive me? That's how I know this boy has got true repentance, because when his dad was like, woo-hoo-hoo, he's like, whoa, hang on, dad. You need to know something. I don't deserve this. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I do not desire. I'm not worthy to be your son. True repentance. That's what we're praying for. Praying that our kids will get to that spot where they're ready to change the way they think and come back to the Lord. Now, this is going to be so hard. But here's the fifth handle. As a parent, you're waiting for this day. And you're waiting for this day not to say, I told you so. Everything I said was going to happen. We're not waiting like that, are we? We're waiting to go, yahoo! Say that with me. That just felt good. Yahoo! Right? So be prepared to extravagantly, what? Celebrate true repentance. Celebrate true repentance. Look at the father when the son's all like, Dad, time out. I don't deserve this. I have sinned against you. It's like the dad goes, listen, son, you need to hear something. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Look, my son, he stinks so bad. He smells, he's dirty, but let's get the best robe. Let's put it on him. And my boy came up barefoot. What else are we going to do? Oh, we're going to put a ring on his finger first. We're going to let him know he's been welcomed back into the family. We're going to give that signet, put it back on his finger. And sandals, let's put those sandals on his feet, because no child of mine should be looking and feeling the way he's feeling when he's repented and he's come home. And I'm going to clothe him. And not only that, bring the fattened calf. Woo-hoo! And kill it. We're going to bring out old Bessie, and we're having steak tonight, boys. Meat's back on the menu. Woo! And let's have a feast and do what? Celebrate. Why? For this son of mine was? He was what? Yeah, he was. You got to have some excitement on it. Aren't you guys be excited, have the hope, have the trust, have the vision for what God can do in your child right now. For he was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Woo! This is what we're praying for and what we're looking for. And listen, if God gets your child to that spot and he repents and he comes back, what you need to know, parents, is that your child, in true repentance, he is not coming back expecting the same privileged position he had when he left. He understands that. He's like, let me just pitch a tent in the back, all the leftovers. I'm coming back. Nor is he coming back for all his stuff or his things. He's not coming back for his PlayStation 4. He's not coming for his iPhone 10 or X or whatever you want to call it. He's not coming back for his trophies or his comfortable king bed, Tempur-Pedic, in the bedroom. Not coming back for that. You know what he's coming back for? Relationship. Love. There is something in your house that he cannot get anyplace else. And you know what it is? It's you. As a parent, you have something that your child cannot get anyplace else. And that's you. And this father realized that. And this father said, welcome home, son. Let's party. And they celebrated that night. Listen, five handles right here. I pray that your child will never go into a period of rebellion. But if he's there or in that midst right now, some things to remember right out of Luke 15. There's rebellion in every single one of us, even your beautiful little child. And we have to release them. The goal is not to get them to return. The goal is for God to get a hold of them and to bring them to repentance. So we drop to our knees and we pray. We pray that God can do what only God can do. And we pray that their child will get to that spot where there'll be true repentance. And when your child comes home, this is when we celebrate. This is when we jump with joy. Not before. Don't get this out of order. We wait for repentance. Then we celebrate. This is the pattern with God. If you read also in that chapter, right? Jesus is telling this story. And if you're not up to speed, this is really a metaphor. This is a parable of God's love and his posture for every single one of us. Because he's telling the religious leaders, this is God's heart. And this is how God responds. And every single one of you are the ones who have demanded their own way. Think you know all the answers. Are increasingly self-centered. That's you. And you've all run away. But God is good, and God is gracious, and God is wanting the best for each one of you, and he's waiting for you to come home. And some of you, you don't even leave the house, but you still have the same heart of rebellion, and that's the part of the story we're not talking about, but the older son. Some of us stay in the house, and our hearts are just as bad as the son who ran away. And God says, I want your heart to be changed too. In fact, the son says, Dad, I was here the whole time, right? This is the older son. I was here the whole time. And we never partied like that. And the dad's like, son, you were in my presence the whole time. In fact, you didn't enjoy it. It's not my problem. You're the one who's put that on yourself. And God is like, man, I'm here. I want you to know this and love this and enjoy this. And some of you are here and you're maybe in that season yourself. You've run away from God, or you have loved ones that are running away from God. This is my word of encouragement and hope over you. I want you to understand this about God. The prophet Isaiah, God says this through the prophet Isaiah, these words, for the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show compassion, just like the father in the story of the lost son. He rises to show compassion. He is waiting for you to come home. Not to. In fact, I would say when your child comes home, be light on explanation, be heavy on celebration. That's how God is. God is a God filled with grace. The New Living Translation puts it this way. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Our God is a good and kind and loving and wants to lavish his love and his benefits upon you. And if you've walked away from him, he's saying, this morning, come home. If you have rebelled, he says, now is the time to repent. Your arms are open wide. Welcome back into the family. Know my love because I want to show it to you. Let's pray together.